What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck, and of course, I am Josh Hadley, and with me as always is the invariably peppy and always happy.
I'm not always happy, I'm just particularly ornery most days we record.
For this week's...
I warned you I'm ornery!
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, Jillian, you've seen the controversy over the 11-inch subway, right?
Yeah, 11 inches just isn't enough for me.
That extra inch can mean a lot. I mean, especially with you being a woman, that 11-inch...
Dude, I don't want to be split into twain. No way. That's too much. That's like jamming a cylindrical ruler up your vag. Who wants that?
So basically what happened was an Australian customer from Subway got his Subway. Remember, their catchphrase is $5 foot longs, which would be 12 inches. He measured it. It's only 11 inches. So he just posted it kind of as a joke on Facebook. And the thing that really blew this up was Subway's response. Now, this post has been removed, but somebody screen capped it prior. With regards to the size of the bread and calling it a footlong, Subway footlong is a registered trademark as a descriptive name for the sub sold in Subway restaurants and not intended to be a measurement of length. The length of the bread baked in the restaurant cannot be assured each time, as the proofing process may vary slightly each time in the restaurant. Basically, what they're saying is, get fucked, it's not an actual footlong, stop actually measuring it. That's basically what they're saying, isn't it?
It is, but at the same time, I remember commercials back in the day, get a 6-inch or a full 12-inch foot long. But here's the thing, regardless of whether it is or isn't, it's a fucking inch. Seriously, if you're still hungry, you're like, oh man, I really could have used that extra inch. If you got that extra inch, it's going to be maybe like a little traipse of lettuce and then the rest of the little piece of bread, which I've seen lots of people eat in Subway. Half the time you're leaving small chunks or the end pieces of bread. Like, I understand this guy did it as a joke. It's not like it was controversy intended with him putting it out there.
It only
like,
became
Subway,
controversy when Subway responded.
Well, he did do a joke, be like, you know, respond Subway or like, what's your response type thing. But it was as a joke. You know, people post pictures all the time and they're like, blah, 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 blah. But Subway actually did respond, so I guess it got back to them. And so it blew up into this big whole thing, and they said something about the metric system being different, and so it wouldn't necessarily be 12 inches, which, you know, if you hit a converter on your calculator, it doesn't matter. Like, it all goes in the same system. So people started taking pictures and measuring their sandwiches and posting them, be like, no, mine's short too. And it's like this big blown up thing, and I'm like, why? Who the fuck cares? Like, seriously?
I do on a false advertising level.
Oh, my God,
they advertise a 12-inch sub.
Are you green
sub. Hey, Jillian, I'm a guy. You want every inch that you're entitled to when you're measuring.
I'm not touching that with a 12-foot pole. No. Oh, wait, but it's actually an 11-foot pole because they say it's a 12-foot pole, but it's actually 11 inches, you guys.
I just think it's funny that now the internet is flooded with people measuring their fucking sandwiches.
You know, I don't even fucking care. Like, if I did it, I want to go to Subway now and measure it, but make it, like, all limp and sad.
And then if you rubbed the bread a little bit, some mayonnaise would come
out? No, just, like, have somebody holding it and kind of, you know, upper left-hand frame, and then I'm measuring it, but I'm down on my knees with the tape measure, and it's all limp, like, looking right up to the
Now, our second topic is a little more serious. I have a lot to say about this. Why is what you do on your own time something that other people get to judge on what you do on your official job? Stacy Hollis in Oxnard, California, was a teacher's assistant who became a full-blown teacher. And then...
Full-blown? It'll
and
be
then,
funnier when you know what it's about, you guys.
And then it was found out that in the past... Now, remember... In the past, prior to her becoming a teacher, she had done hardcore pornography, many of which were still available on the internet and in some cases on the shelves of video stores. Now, she was not a porn star. Basically, she was one of the lower end porn stars that you're not likely to recognize unless you're a real hardcore porn fan that you know all these movies and all these girls. And keep in mind, she didn't do any of this once she became a teacher. This is just what was in her past. Here is the reason that this is so controversial. She didn't disclose this. So when she had her teaching credentials pulled from her, she sued. And a 3-panel judge decided, no, she is not suited to be teaching in California schools. They even added she was, quote, being dishonest, because why the fuck should she even have to tell them?
It doesn't on resumes, they ask you your past jobs, and that was a job, so...
There's nothing to do with that. Her teaching... She clearly got her teaching credentials just fine. She passed all the classes. She got all the credits. It's not the state's right to go, oh, you did porn in the past. Because that's the thing. They're not saying, oh, you lied. It's you were dishonest that you didn't tell us you did porn. If she had been in a Steven Seagal movie, this would not be happening. If she said, oh, you didn't disclose that bit part you had when you appeared on an Adult Swim show. No, it's porn.
Here's the thing, though. I know.
Out as you did porn, you don't.
Because she didn't do anything else. That's why they're singling out the porn. But here's the thing. A lot of jobs have morality clauses. And we also talked about that one instance of, you know, the babysitter that got fired. So here's the thing. And I mean, I took intro to elementary education. So they kind of gave us a lowdown on what you can and cannot do teacher wise. They do ask, you know, I mean, I know state to state is different, but a lot of places ask, you know, have you been involved with anything that would be considered unscrupulous or amoral or anything like that? So if they asked and she did not disclose, and I'm just doing devil's advocate here.
Unscrupulous or immoral.
Right. But you do have the clauses on what is and what is not is the thing. Even if, like, if you go apply anywhere, they ask you, you know, past experiences, past jobs and things like that. But here's my thing on it. Things have repercussions. Like, if she had got caught for prostitution or something like that, former, you're saying, oh, why does she have to tone from past mistakes or whatever? And you did use the word mistake with me anyway. I was still kind of reading, and I don't know if you
because
said it on air.
She called it a mistake. She says she starred in the movie during an 8-month period from 05 to 06 because of financial problems after her boyfriend abandoned her. And she considered the videos a mistake. This didn't come kicking up until some of her students found these videos. Students, I might add, who are not legally able to see these videos. And then they started passing them around the school. Assistant Principal William Sadler testified at the start of this hearing. He talked about her being a teacher, and he felt her effectiveness in the classroom had been compromised due to the videos. That's bullshit.
Actually, no, that's not. Stop. That's not bullshit. Because if you've got people that know, and your fucking students that you teach know, like, whether they should or should not know, that's neither here nor there. Yes, middle school students should not know. They should not be watching porn. However, the fact that her students know does compromise her authority. You have the same thing in any kind of position where you work, you know, with the public. And yeah, it's not a position of power. Like, she doesn't work for Congress, but being a teacher, you are in that position of power and responsibility over those kids. Those kids are seeing their teacher naked and then just can't. They're not going to respect that teacher. There's going to be just a whole lot of shenanigans in way of the children. I mean, they're immature.
There was actually an incident. This is before the video even popped up, before the students found the video, when rumors of her pornography past popped up. Profanity was etched on her classroom window on numerous occasions. But I still disagree. I say, so she took it in the ass in a video. It doesn't matter. This is the same thing. You see this popping up all over the place, especially when it comes to teachers. There was a teacher fired for photos of, over her Christmas vacation of her drinking alcohol that she put on Facebook. Her students saw
that. No, we did talk about that. We did talk about that. That was when I was on, because I was talking about the babysitter in that same one.
And I think that's bullshit. What they do on their own time has no bearing on
when
whether
you
they're
go into
good
teaching,
or effective
they
teacher.
Explain to you, when you go into teaching, they explain to you morality clauses. Like, they say you cannot be caught out at bars, you know, knocking them back with people. You know, it's they explain this to you in introduction. I've taken this class, okay? And obviously laws and rules aren't the same everywhere. But for teachers, I mean, when we did our independent films, we were looking for a role to fill nudity. And I was like, oh, I think I know somebody because, you know, I had gone to school with her and she was kind of a wild one and she was a teacher. And I didn't even realize this. And I asked her and she was like, I'm a teacher. I can't do that. Like, it's because of my job. I can't do that. So it's like they know about these. And so I think it's more so the reason that kind of like you knew this going into it. Like as soon as I think she thought no one would ever find out. And then the moment that that's out and that's everywhere, any kid you have in that classroom that knows, you aren't going to be effective because it's going to be like all of the whispers and the notes and like, oh my God, teacher was in a porn and, you know, oh, I've seen teacher's titties because they've obviously seen it. Like, I'm sorry, you're done. Just like
with I can't agree with you on this one, Jay. I can't.
For people, and I'm not saying like, oh, she's a horrible person, she did porn, but at the same time, it's like there's certain jobs you can't do if you did that. You know, I mean, if you get arrested,
Jillian, it comes down to a bigger problem that this country specifically seems to have when it comes to the adult industry. I think what this comes down to is as much as porn is so ingrained into our country and our culture, there's still this weird shame attached to it that I don't understand. I really don't. I don't get this whole shame of pornography. We all watch it. This isn't the 1950s anymore.
Not everybody watches pornography.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
There's a reason that 7/8 of the internet is porn. She did not do any goddamn thing wrong. And there is absolutely no reason whatsoever that she should not be able to be a teacher.
If I saw my teacher, no matter what age I was, high school, college, anything, if I was going through and, you know, I saw them in a porn or a nude role or anything, I would look at that teacher differently, especially as a child or a teenager. You can't turn it off. You're going to look at that teacher differently. And that does compromise, unfortunately, the effectiveness. So, I mean, I see what they're saying with the compromising her effectiveness in the classroom. It does.
And see, we have this other weird
thing
in this
country.
Because
it's human nature.
But we have this other weird thing in this country, Jillian, where we elevate teachers like, oh, you know, a teacher has to be moral and dignant and whatnot. And, you know, you put these clauses, like you mentioned, the morality clause and all that. Yet we pay them like shit. We just went through, especially in my state, of completely destroying their unions so we can pay them even less. Why does this country elevate teachers to a level where a city fucking garbage man makes 7 times an hour what a goddamn teacher does?
And that would be why I
don't care about teachers, but we think we should hold them to some goddamn inflated standard that makes no fucking sense.
And that would be why I only took the introduction to elementary education.
Yet it would be okay if the garbage man did porn.
Hey, baby, I heard you're having problems.
That's what's fucking wrong with this. I think we hold teachers to an unrealistic expectation of morality, yet we don't fucking pay them anything. We don't treat them like they are teaching our future. We treat them like they're overpaid babysitters.
Pretty much. I was just going to say that. Like, here, take my kid for, you know, 6 hours a day, what have you. And, I mean, it is really sad, especially on programs. They'll say, and I mean, we've talked about this before with the whole sports programs versus anything but sports. And, you know, it's like kids go to school to get well-rounded. And unfortunately, it's not necessarily the case anymore. And this could go into so many more topics because this is such a huge topic that you jumped into. Right. I mean, I just want to say, since you opened the door for it, we do need to say there's so many issues with school systems and budget cuts and taking things out. And then, you know, the whole, oh, well, let's just pass the kids even though they should fail because it's not fair. We'll grade kids on different grading scales. So we won't go there, even though you opened the door to it. So let's stop that.
It actually sounds like it's a future a topic for a future day.
Oh, you know it's gonna be.
But I'm just saying, and you and I clearly disagree on this.
I just want to say, I do want to go on record because you went on your rant there. I'm not saying that this lady is a horrible person in any way, shape, or form. I am saying that there are certain professions that you go into that you know certain things in your past may come up and bite you in the ass. And I don't mean any puns by that. So
I had a couple in my head.
I'm sure you did. What I'm just saying is I don't feel sorry for her because she did make her choices in the past. And with, you know, the introduction stuff that I've done and just, you know, my knowledge of teaching community and having worked in schools in the past, you do know the expectations that you're held up to. It's not like, what? Wait, I'm just hearing about this. No. So I think it was one of those things that she was ashamed of. She didn't think would ever pop up again. And then shut up. There's so many puns here, but it did. And unfortunately, she's got to deal with it. So,
and I think it's bullshit. I see what you're saying. I don't agree with it. I will not cave on this one. I think she, no pun intended, she got fucked by the system.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I do see what they're saying of her position. Because, oh my God, this is just so full of fun.
That's why I have to keep saying, no pun intended.
We are not trying to make fun, but it's funny at this time with the verbiage.
We are also kind of a comedy show. I mean, admit it, we are.
Sometimes there's subjects you can't be. I don't even remember. Like, I just keep focusing on position and let's go to heart attack.
We'll go to heart. We'll come back. And the next topic, there's also jokes built in. All right, we'll be back after heart.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher from American Horrors here. And before we get into the latest heart attack, I want to talk to you folks about my sponsor, SafeSig.com. I was at a party recently, and I looked around the room at all the smokers as they chatted away, and you know what I noticed? I noticed that about half their money burned up in smoke, literally. If you're a smoker of regular cigarettes, you know that when you're chit-chatting and having a good time at a party, your cigarette's hanging out of your mouth, it's in your fingers, and it's smoking away. So that means your money is going up in smoke. But if you have a safe cig, no tar, no ash, no secondhand smoke, every puff goes in your lungs. That means every penny you spend on a safe cig is going to go right into your lungs where it belongs. So go to safesig.com. Use the code word horror and get 20% off.
Well, Josh, it looks like since you don't live here in Los Angeles, you're missing out on a little party, my friend.
Why? What am I missing out on now?
Well, I wanted to let all the fine folks who would listen to Heart Attack every week that you can, for one, watch for free now at www.filmon.com. And now we're filming our first American Horrors Christmas special on January 29th, which is next week. We're going to do this down at the CIA Abnormal Arts Bar. It's fun. It's owned by the dude who wrote the Jeffrey Dahmer movie. We're going to have a bunch of people down there. It's going to be $10 at the door to get in. St. Madness is playing. Another band called It's Casual is playing, a two-piece punk rock outfit. They fucking kill. I'm so pumped. We've got Count Crazy Craig is hosting the event. And what this really is it's an open party for the public. Come down, meet me, have a drink with me, have some fun, buy some stuff, some swag, and have a good time and check out the band and be a part of the American Horrors Christmas special. And not holiday special, Christmas special, bitches, Christmas!
Yeah, because you're always known for your PC-ness, aren't you, Hart?
Yeah, exactly right. This is going to be at the CIA bar, which is owned by Carl Crew. And Carl played Dahmer in the Jeffrey Dahmer movie that came out at exactly the same time that my Dahmer books came out. And he went through a lot of the same bullshit. In fact, one of these people that was on the talk shows with me, Janetta Robinson, smacked him in the face. Yeah, lots of fun. Lots of fucking fun. But the thing is I want people to come down to this event. I want them to come down. It's next week. It's on Tuesday. So I guess, we go on the air live on Saturday. This is happening Tuesday, January 29th. It's going to be at 11334 Burbank Boulevard. It's right on the corner of Lancashire and Burbank in North Hollywood. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's dead bodies there. There's shrunken heads there. There's cut off arms there. Here, there's the body of a dead fairy there. And I'm not talking about a homosexual. I'm talking about a dead fairy.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, dude, there's all this stuff and all this shit about Obama, right? He's talking about this gun stuff that he wants to get passed. And you know what the funny thing is they're using Sandy Hook as the excuse. Well, Josh, I don't know if you heard the news, but turns out that the killer in Sandy Hook only used handguns. Handguns. He killed his mother and took her AR-15. He left it in the trunk of his car when he did the massacre. But Obama, in his infinite wisdom, is trying to ban the AR-15 and the multi-capacity magazines, using Sandy Hook as the reason. But how can you use Sandy Hook as the reason if the killer only used handguns. They knew about the facts of the murder before they tried to pass this legislation, before they showed Obama with all the children around him. Everything we've ever said, folks, the police have been empowered by the judicial system to lie to us. They are now allowed to lie to us. And Josh, you talked about, what was it, NDA, indefinite detention? Was
yeah.
that the thing that passed this year? You know what they're trying to pass now that's in the Senate right now? It's 112. They're trying to pass the same legislation they did for indefinite detention, only now they want to be able to lie to us.
They've been able to lie to us for years.
No, legally, We have protections against propaganda in this country so that the government does not legally, they're not allowed to lie to us about this stuff. They're trying to pass legislation that means they could, one, they could grab you or me and say we're a terrorist suspect, and then they could lie to the public about why they grabbed us, Josh, and it would be legal.
Yeah, except legal or illegal, they've been doing that for years. So
I don't care
really
if they've
surprised.
Been doing it for years. There's a tremendous difference between illegal and legal. Look at all the CIA torture people that are shitting balls right now because they might be subpoenaed for what they did.
And I don't know, the way I look at it, do I trust the government? Absolutely not. Of course not. I'm not stupid.
So here we have an example of them distorting the facts to pass legislation. Now, I've got no problem with making sure the criminals don't have guns. I'm a big fan of that. In fact, you know, when I believe in totally enforcing the laws that we have. I really want them to get on that. I want them to get on straw man purchases. I want to make sure that at gun shows, people still have to go through background checks. And we got to do something about all these guns that are going down to Mexico and killing police officers in Mexico and American police officers in Mexico. I understand that, but I don't like what I'm being lied to.
I don't either. And you know me, I'm on the opposite side of the gun issue as you.
Sure.
I don't think your average person needs an AK-47. I don't think you need poison-tipped cop killer bullets for duck hunting. I think people misinterpret the Second
Amendment.
You're
going to the extreme with the cop killer poison-tipped bullets. Nobody thinks that shit is real. No one thinks that, dude. You're going to the extreme. We're just talking about regular guns. The thing that you want to ask yourself is why would the government lie or distort the truth? Because they knew the truth about the Sandy Hook shootings when they tried to do this Obama initiative. The right wing, their big thing was, Obama's going to take our guns. Obama's going to take their guns. And we, guys like you and me, Josh, said, you're fucking high. You're nuts. He's not out to get your guns. And here I see a government that is distorting the truth and withholding facts so they can pass legislation to take our guns. Why do they want to take the guns? It's got nothing to do with deaths, because we already know that if you look at gun murders, they're on the way down. If you look at car murders, they're up. Here in Los Angeles, California, we have an epidemic of hit-and-run drivers. People using cars as weapons, like crazy. It's insane. We have an epidemic of people using their cell phone while they're driving, to the point where the statistics are saying it's so bad, it's just like they're drunk. But they're not drunk, and they're still doing this, and we're not freaking out about that. And we're not freaking out about all the prescription drug deaths in this country, which more than quadruple. You got 11,000 gun murders in 2010, and I don't know, over 100,000 drug deaths in 2010. So which one is the priority? I'm only talking about the fact of manipulation. When you look at math, and you look at distortion of the facts in the media, and you look at the lie that's being told to us, I'm not talking about gun control. I'm talking about being manipulated. Why would the government want to do this when we have far more people dying from drugs in this country, regular old drugs, than we do from guns? Why isn't that a priority? Why isn't that something we're discussing? I firmly believe that this gun issue is a trick. They're trying to distract us from things like NDA.
I'll give you that, but I don't see any difference between what Obama is doing and what Bush did right after 9/11. He got us involved in a fake war.
Does it make it right, dude?
No, it doesn't make it right, but I'm saying I don't see any
right.
I don't see
so
any difference.
So you're smelling a rat, right?
I do smell a rat, but I've been smelling a rat for most
take
of my adult
life.
Take yourself
out of the gun rhetoric. Just take yourself out of the gun rhetoric. The whole gun debate is designed for guys like you and me to fight. The whole reason that they're bringing up the gun thing now is so we don't pay attention to HSBC. And how come nobody's noticed that the parents of two of these shooters in these mass school shootings have been involved in the Liber investigation? And do you know what that is, the Liber investigation?
I do, actually. I don't remember what the LIBOR stands for, but yes, I do. It's basically a British bank scam.
And what happened with HSBC, which was a European bank?
Yes, the bankers need to get more attention.
No one's mentioning in the press the fact that the parents of two of these fuckers, is involved in this scandal about a British bank manipulating American markets.
And see, I'm not so sure if that's a conspiracy theory or
it's not
or
a conspiracy.
If that's
it's a fucking
coincidence.
Fact, dude.
I'm not debating whether it's a fact. I'm not like calling you nuts. I'm saying I'm not sure if that's a coincidence or something else. I haven't seen enough evidence on that.
Would you believe in coincidence? Because when you get involved in investigation and when you hang out with cops, cops don't believe in coincidence. And what are the odds? What are the odds that the parents of two shooters would be involved in a banking scandal?
Yeah, the odds are definitely not in the favor
really
of it.
Really bad. We got to pull our heads out of the rhetoric of gun control. And it's a thing that makes people pissed. And the government knows it because we don't get mad over gay marriage the way we used to. And we don't get super mad about marijuana like we used to. And the gun control is the wedge issue, Josh. It's the wedge issue to distract us from the other bullshit.
Well, yeah, you heard about the accidental left on mic last week, right?
No, I didn't. What do you mean?
I can't remember if it was a senator, who exactly it was. It was a right-wing Republican that was all, you know, no one's going to, you know, they're going to pry their guns out of my cold, dead hands. And he didn't realize somebody left his microphone on. It was broadcasting to the entire Congress. He said, this ought to keep these gun nuts happy right now, even though they're the real threat. Even the Republicans don't believe the rhetoric that they're spewing. They believe these people are gun nuts, Hart. And all of a sudden, a staffer runs up. Your mic is on.
That's funny. Here's another thing that I think that this gun rhetoric is being used to distract us from. I was reading recently in the Los Angeles Times all about our Cardinal Mahoney. And guess what, guys? They have proof that Cardinal Mahoney aided and abetted child molesters in the Roman Catholic Church. That's right, guys. While we're all arguing about, I don't know, gun control, we've got priests that are shielded by the law. They are not going to jail. We have executives in the church who felt that it was more important to protect the church than to protect those children from being molested. Let me read you some of these facts here, Josh, because I'm going to switch the argument. I'm going to switch what we're discussing. These are the things that I think we're being distracted from. Here in Los Angeles, they've been investigating Cardinal Mahoney, who's in charge of one of the largest Unfortunately, there's been a concerted effort by the officials in the nation's largest Roman Catholic diocese to keep them from coming to the attention of police. They have been working to prevent police from investigating priests who admitted to church officials that they abused young boys, including one priest who tied up a boy and raped him. Because that's what happens when you molest a child, guys. It's called rape. It's not a molestation. It's motherfucking rape, guys. And these guys, like Mahoney, worked to defeat police officials from investigating child molestation. Yet he's walking around and he's not in jail. They've got a priest named Mr. Garcia, who they worked really hard to keep this guy from returning to L.A. And he refused to take medication to suppress his sexual urges. And he was never prosecuted. He died in 2009. But they knew that he was molesting children the whole time. I don't know, maybe 20 adolescents or young adults that wanted to talk about this. And they hid it. They hid it. And how come these guys are walking the streets? Here we are talking about gun deaths, but the police know all about the Catholic Church hiding child molesters, hiding them, aiding them, and sending them out of state so that the police would not discover their crimes. They discuss in internal documents about how they're going to send this dude out of state because he's molested so many kids in his parish that parents will recognize him if he comes back to Los Angeles.
I've got one here from Wisconsin that'll knock your socks off. That's along those
same
lines.
Dude, I want to hear it because this is a thing that burns my ass, guys. Why are we told as Americans that there are bankers that are so fucking important that the fact that they help launder money for terrorists and drug dealers who kill police officers, that they're so important? What the fuck does a banker do that's so important? How? What the fuck could you do at a bank that you can't be replaced instantly by some other asshole with a fucking degree in business? What do you do at a goddamn bank that's so fucking important, such rocket science, that you don't go to jail for aiding and abetting terrorism, for aiding and abetting drug dealing in Mexico and murderers? And here's the other question. What the fuck are you doing in our country where you're so important that you get a pass for aiding and abetting molesting children? I really want to know, because we the people go to jail for having a joint. We the people go to jail for having a fucking blotter of acid. But dudes that fuck kids in the ass get shipped to another state, and the people who help them escape the hand of justice, are still walking around. How come no one has revoked the tax-exempt status of the Roman Catholic Church? I'd fucking love to know that one. Tell me about what's going down where you live, Josh, because this is the thing that burns my ass. Because kids are fucking helpless, man. And we always talk about what we have to censor on TV so the kids are protected, but we never talk about protecting the kids from fucking child molesters, the real goddamn thing.
We'll talk about that next week, because we're way out of time.
Ah, fuck me. Josh, I'm sorry. You guys at home, Josh, just let me know. I have been ranting and raving too long for Josh to talk about the cocksuckers molesting kids in his own backyard. So next week on our Heart Attack Here segment, Josh is going to get to talk a little bit more about what's going on in his backyard with these child molesting assholes who aren't in goddamn jail. And I want you guys, as a segue from child molestation, come on down to the CIA bar in North Hollywood and party down for the American Horror's Christmas special. That's right, January 29th. Come on down, 11334 Burbank Boulevard. Doors open at 8 p.m.
Circulated a bit around Facebook, which, you know, God bless the interwebs, we get a lot of our information here. It's about the teen that offers her virginity for money. This is in Brazil, we do need to say. It's Sophia Sue, and she's 18, decides to sell her virginity on YouTube because she saw some other Brazilian chick do it, and she got, like, a modeling career and stuff out of it. She's taking care of her really sick mother. They're aren't homeless or anything, but they're not living in the best of places. So she goes on YouTube, and then it, you know, attracted the media, and she was also hoping that a better life would turn out for her, like this pay for the help for her mom and just kind of get out of the rut. Got news attention, and basically she was offered money to take care of her sick mom if she would rescind her offer, and she turned it down in hopes that, you know, she would get more to turn her life around. Well, that offer has fallen through because she was like, no, and
she was being a greedy cunt is what it came down to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call a teenager a cunt, but she did turn 18. And here I want to reiterate, prostitution, to a sense, is legal in Brazil. You can't stand out on the
state-sponsored prostitution.
Yeah, you can't be out on the street being like, hey, sugar, you want a good time? Basically, kind of like a goods and services thing where you do have to pay taxes on it. But here's my thing. You are taking care of your sick mother. And, you know, she made this plea on TV that it was for desperation. Like, you know, I care about my mother and this is the only way I can make money. In the article, it says that she gets the equivalent of 75 American dollars. We'll break it down for you guys. $75 for a working day, which would just pay for someone to stay with her mother. So $75 a day. Now, it doesn't say whether that's a regular working day. It's probably not. She's working as a waitress. It might be 10, 12-hour days, but not exactly pittance, but I don't know exactly.
I didn't make that much when I worked at Channel 26 in a day.
I don't know kind of what things cost in Brazil versus what they'd be making. You know, that's kind of like saying, oh, I make $8 an hour. You know, why can't you make it live? But if you're living out in California, $8 an hour isn't shit. So it is all relative. So I just kind of want to report and put that out there. Here's the thing. A Brazilian TV network offered to pay for her mother's medical expenses if the girl called off the auction. And she initially accepted it during an interview on TV and then later rejected it because the network wouldn't pay for a house in a different town where she could, quote unquote, start a new life.
That's why I called her a greedy cunt.
Mom's dying, but that house over there in the hills looks really nice. Like, no. Okay, first of all, you're talking about prostituting yourself, which, again, maybe it isn't that big of a deal in Brazil. And I mean, a lot of people here don't think it's a big deal. I think the age is something that hits when reading this, especially.
Especially because when you see the video of her, she looks younger.
Yeah, she looks like she's 15.
I actually think that might be a selling point because, you know, there are all those people that want to even imagine that they're deflowering like a 14-year-old girl, but doing it legally, you know?
Barely legal things.
Yeah. But Jillian, my issue here is the fact that, like you pointed out, I think she's being greedy. She could have had all her mother's medical expenses paid, which is what she had said she initially set out to do this for. And then her eyes got big and she went, oh, wait, but I could also turn this into a new life and a new house and mom and I could move. And she got greedy.
It's kind of like where, oh, I slipped on the floor. I need my medical expenses paid for. Wait, I can get $2 million out of this? And then you lose and you're stuck with like $50,000 to pay or what have you. And here's the thing. She puts herself out there in claims of basically being very innocent, feel sorry for me, which, you know, she has a sick mom. That's not the issue. The issue is basically back to morality here. Not necessarily, oh, she's prostituting herself. It's more so the motive behind it. So you have a sick mom and you're like, oh, I need to take care of her. And this is what I need. And then somebody comes and says, we will give you this money. We will give you all of the medical expenses you need to take care of your mother. And you say, no, I think my box is worth more than that. Like, seriously, you are gambling with your fucking mom's life. Like,
yeah, it's not your life you're gambling with. You're fucking with your mom's life because you could get her taken care of. You could get her medical expenses paid.
You are not value. She is not. And I'm saying you, but she is not valuing her mother. She is using her mother as an excuse to get away with this and get sympathy so that people will be like, oh, I'll help that cause. Like, you know, like it takes somebody to want sex to have to need a cause. But, you know, so basically what it really comes down to, and if you look at her expression in the video, I mean, obviously sometimes it seems sincere because she's on TV. There's a few times where she's got kind of a raised eyebrow or just something.
She's almost got a cocky little smile now.
She does. She does. I'm sure your mom's real proud of you because it does say that the mom asked her not to do it. And she was like, no, I have to pay for your medical bills. And so, and like, here's the thing. It would be really controversial, especially if she was, you know, 15, what have you. And I don't even know what the legal ages in Brazil, but you know, she decided this on her 18th birthday. What really upsets me is the fact of, you know, she states that she saw this other girl do it and she sprung on a modeling career. I don't want to be mean to this girl or anything, but like we said, she looks 14. The other one looked like a fucking model. Okay. That would be, it's kind of like aspiring dreams where, you know, a girl sitting at home is watching Tyra Banks or America's Next Top Model or whatever and is like, I can do that. I'm totally going to do that. And then does something crazy. It's going to be, you know, it's that one in a million type chance. So she saw this and she got stars in her eyes. And it does say that she ended up auditioning for like, what was it, a reality show like Big Brother?
It was the Brazilian version of Big Brother, which offers a $500,000 prize if you win the show.
This Katarina girl that ended up doing modeling and everything, hers sold for $780,000. Rebecca's does say she received several bids, the highest for 70,000 reals or 35,000. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing their currency.
When Rebecca Bernardo, the one we're talking about now, she saw Katerina's money and went, holy shit, why should I just settle for getting my mom's medical expenses paid?
She looked at $780,000 that Katerina got. And so Rebecca was like, well, wait, they're offering to pay. I can get $780,000. And then wah, wah, everything kind of went downhill. And so I will tell you this, medical expenses, especially for someone who's super sick, $35,000 is fucking nothing. So
right. She should have, basically what it comes down to is second sight. You should have taken the TV deal. But there is also a little bit of a conspiracy theory here. There are people having seen all of this and seen her change in, you know, no, I don't want just medical expenses. I want a new life and whatnot. That there are people thinking that all of this, all of it, was a calculated ploy to get media attention to get her the same kind of deals that Katerina got.
No, she even said that it took off on a modeling career and all this other stuff, and she wants a better life. So, like I said, she read the story or saw it, what have you. I'm sure it's a little more renowned over there, and got stars with her eyes. So, I mean, I think me equating it to, you know, somebody watching, be like, I can do that, and just doing this crazy scheme. I'm sorry. Like, I feel bad for the mom because she's actually sick. This girl had no good intentions. She was very, very
dirty. I can't feel sorry for
her. She screwed her mom over. She screwed her mom over because she wants to be a fucking model and have several hundred thousand dollars. If I had even a very close friend, like, let's just take family out of the equation. If I had a friend who was fucking dying and someone's like, we will pay for all of your friend's medical. They'll be, you know, good shape, blah, blah, blah. Or door number two, they're going to die in 3 days, but you can have like $6 million. I choose the 3 days of life. Like, you choose life over money.
There's also the fact that they actually, she wants you, the listener and the viewer, to feel sorry for her that this didn't work out, to the point where people in her town, when she's driving around her little bicycle around, are throwing quarters at her. She makes this out like she's the victim here. She's not. In my opinion, she got what she deserved. I don't feel bad for her.
And this kind of actually goes into something else. And I apologize because it just kind of sparked in my head. I don't remember what network or article. I heard it a couple times. Basically, kind of the anti-bullying and cyberbullying and everything. And they mentioned this girl very, very briefly as just kind of an additive. And then also the girl that I believe we talked about, didn't we, that was like scantily clad and ended up committing suicide. As examples, if you've listened to the show before, you know that Josh and I are very anti-bullying. However, in situations, they're talking about basically scantily clad girls or basically there was some Dr. Phil thing that was talking about shame for sluts and all of this other stuff. And it's kind of like, I'm sorry, shouldn't be focusing on that issue. Like, yeah, women are viewed in a different way and you have the whole objectivity thing. But at the same time, you know what you're doing. You know what you're displaying versus the poor geeky kid in the corner who's got acne and glasses and fucking kills himself because he's, you know, tortured to death by bullies. But you're going to focus on, you know, these girls that are getting ridiculed for decisions they're making. They weren't talked into taking off their shirt. They did it free of will. And then it was like, uh-oh, came back to haunt me. Or, you know, oh, people are making fun of me. I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for you. You weren't like drunk and somebody's like, oh, take off your shirt. And, you know, you had your shirt ripped off you. No, you did this on your own accord.
Well, because to bring this back to Rebecca, I would feel bad for her if she had taken the deal from the TV network and they had, no pun intended, pulled out of the deal and that she was being sincere. I'm sorry, I can't feel bad for you or your situation when you got greedy. I just can't.
And I mean, we've talked a lot about image and sizist and things, so I don't know how to say this without it coming off really bad. When you look at the first girl, Katerina, they show video of what she looked like. And then you look at Rebecca, Katerina is very model-esque. And again, I'm hesitant in saying this because I don't like coming off this way. Rebecca, she's cute and everything. She's very girl next door, but she looks like she's your everyday 14-year-old girl. Like, she's not ugly, but she's not somebody that you would notice walking down the street.
She's
if that
average.
Makes you say anything. Yeah. Again, it's a situation of this kid seeing this other girl and getting stars in her eyes and saying that she could do that. And I mean, I'm not surprised it wasn't the same thing, because guys are going to pay more for what they're, you know, really, really attracted to. And so she saw this girl and was like, oh, that could be me. So I think it was a situation of pure greed. And now it's come back.
And her mom's going to pay the price for it.
Yeah. And it's really sad.
Do you think this story would have played out different, greed notwithstanding, if instead of Brazilian, this had happened in America?
Hasn't that happened before? And it was basically just taken down because prostitution is illegal?
Right.
I want to say that happened.
It didn't happen quite the same way. Like,
it wasn't
auctioning virginity.
No,
it was like there was the woman a couple of years ago auctioning off her sexual favors for, I think it was Super Bowl tickets or something, you know,
yeah.
and things like that. So they weren't, I don't think, offering virginity. I think they were just offering, you know what, I'll fucking sleep with you if you take me to the Super
Bowl. Either way, because prostitution is illegal in America, it kind of would have just been put a stop to. Now, the fallout, interestingly enough, would get the media attention. It would be like, leave her alone, do this, blah, blah, blah. So
because what it reminds me of is the GoldenPalace.com debacle. A woman sold her tattoo. She would tattoo the logo and website of whoever would pay the most onto her forehead for 10 years. And
the gambling casino,
GoldenPalace.com, bought it for, I think, $40,000 or something. So she's got GoldenPalace.com tattooed on her forehead. This is kind of the same thing. Have we gotten to a certain point in this country where your body, whether it's your virginity, a tattoo, whatever, means so little to you? Because in my opinion, okay, if you're going to do something like the tattoo or the virginity,
you can get that shit removed. You can get tattoos removed.
But you can get to an amount, a dollar amount, where you go, all right, you know, maybe. But to me, $40,000 to have a website tattooed.
Oh, $40,000? No. I'd be like,
is still on the same level as like selling your virginity for money. It's the same concept. Maybe not the same level, but it's the same concept.
Sexual prostitution is illegal in the States, so it's different terms.
She tried to make it seem like the TV station was at fault. She has a quote in there that they refused to pay for her to get a new house. Like, they were somehow at fault for not offering enough money. I want to point out that Brazilian TV station was already offering to help her mother, and she said, no, I want more than that.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, we'll pay for her medical bills outstanding. It's, we're going to pay for her medical coverage. Which,
yeah, basically, until she dies.
Yeah.
So, Jillian, to end this off, you brought this to me. What piqued your interest so much about this, the sort of funny nature of it, because there is, you know, inherent humor in this, and you know, you and I were joking off mic quite a bit about this, but there's also the fact that I think it was
disgusting. My final thought on this is, it's disgusting, not that she's doing it, but that she's claiming it's for her sick mother. She had essentially a blank check in her hands to be like, you know, figuratively speaking, this is going to take care of all of your mother's medical coverage, like whatever she needs, we got it. And she was like, no, I'm going to see what I can actually get for it. So with that decision, it ceases to be about my mom and more about, I just want a lot of money so I can be a model, or I can, you know, have a better life and a better house. It's like, I would not trade any of my family members' health, even my closest friends. I would not trade their health for all the money in the world. I don't care if they're like,
and
you know,
see,
your mom's really sick, she needs medical.
Her.
If they're like, your mom's really sick, she needs medical attention, it's going to be super expensive, we can help her, but she needs this medical stuff and we'll pay for it. I would never in a million years be like, no, I think I can get more money, like if I do this thing, you know, this person, da 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 da. Like, no.
Like, which is the difference between you and her. You have morality.
Well, I don't when it comes to like the matter, like, and I've joked about this before. It was like, as much as any of you who listen to the Mental Cast or even sometimes on Geek Juice or just the midnight screenings, you know, I hate Transformers and they're making a Transformers 4. But I have gone on record and said, I have no shame. If Michael Bay were to be like, hey, be in my next Transformers movie, I'll give you a shit ton of money. As much as I hate those movies, I'd be okay. So I do, my shame does have a price tag, but not when it values on human life.
Where can we find you, Miss Morality Claus?
Miss Morality Claus, that sounds like one of those little intro videos on Mystery Science Theater that they show before the movie. Mr. B. Sharp and Miss Morality Claus.
I don't know. I'm picturing Morality Claus as Santa Claus's mistress.
Oh, no, I was picturing it as Mr. B. Sharp from the little preempt video they do before the Mystery Science Theater sometimes. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter as The Mistress J. I'm on Facebook, of course, under my name, and I can be found on thecinemasnob.com and occasionally geekjuicemedia.com.
I can be found at geekjuicemedia.com.
Nobody wants to find you.
That's very true, because that's why my website's still hacked off the internet. But you can contact me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. That has not been hacked off yet. So
hacked
I'm
off
gonna
yet?
Say, I'm going to say good night.
Excuse me, but what the good is all the violence in the world, unless it is tempered with limitless sex? Bring on the limitless sex object, and allow me, executioner, genius, to explain the seriousness of the subject. Now, if you will all attend to my words, you'll see I'm a naughty fellow. In fact, I'm certainly not. Now what is my